Man, the Lord is good. I am so glad you guys are here tonight. We're studying the Word of God. We're really digging in some really good stuff. I hope you were here last week. If you weren't, the CDs, I don't know if they're out there, made it out tonight, but I want you to catch up with us starting a series on 1 Corinthians 14. And there's some great things that we need to discover in this chapter. And, you know, the Corinthian letters are such a wonderful study of God and His character and His personality. And the Corinthian church was pretty amazing in the fact that the Scripture says they came behind in no gift. I mean, they had it happening. They had the gifts of the Spirit moving and very motivated in that way. But then Paul said, there's times I've got to talk to you as mere carnal men. He said, y'all messing up. Now, I'm going to have to show you how to act in church and how to walk out, you know, this spiritual life that we have and how to do things right. Because how many knows that Christians sometimes do things wrong? Yeah, I mean, you see that all the time, and you see it in churches everywhere. There's not a perfect church on the planet. Did y'all know that? Okay, so some of you didn't know that. I mean, perfect in standing, but not perfect in manifestation as we walk it out together. Sometimes you and I are walking together, and we have to rub the rough edges off our elbows where we can get along good, right? And the same thing was with the Corinthian church, and trying to find the right way to walk, do things right, with walking with the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. I mean, the Corinthian letters have some of the most amazing teaching. But here what we're doing is we're taking it over into 1 Corinthians 14, and we're trying to learn how to have church correctly, how to do it right. Because we're trying to win people, not run them off, right? And I know there's some churches that I've been to that I wanted to run off, you know. It kind of scared me, you know. And I don't want you to be that way, because there's three classes of people. When we come together and gather in the name of Jesus, we gather for church. You have the people, the unbelievers, people that the Holy Spirit is drawing in. He's drawing them in to learn and to know about God and to know what it's like to fellowship with brethren. So you have the unbelievers, you have the unlearned and the learned. That's what it says in the Scripture. So you got these three categories of people that as we come together, you know, we have the unlearned people that are just growing the Word of God. They got born again. Maybe they're just, hey, I want to know what it's like to walk with God, and you guys show me. And so we need to live it right so we don't be running people off, right? And then I found out, even though it classified some of us as the learned, there's certain areas of our life that I'm still growing in. There's things that I find that maybe I know a little bit about this area, but there's other areas that I need to grow in. And I have found that no matter where I go to church, I can go to any church just about in town, and I'm going to get something out of them. If they're a Bible-believing, Jesus-loving church, I'm going to get something from them. Because I'm going to go in, and I'm going to have the sense of an old cow and eat the hay and leave the sticks. If there's something that I can't chew on, I'll set it aside. There's got to be something good there that I can get. And so I continually want to learn to grow in the Word of God, find my way. Well, we want to find our way about spiritual gifts, spiritual truths, and so that's what we're studying tonight. But before we go there, let's take a moment. Let's just pray, okay? I want you to just shake everything off for the day. Let it go. Sometimes you come in here and say, I got to go to church or I'm going to kill somebody. And you got to let that go tonight, okay? Father, we love and we bless you. And Lord, I'm so glad to be called your son. Lord, I just love you so much. And I thank you for loving me and drawing me closer to you. And Lord Jesus, I'm here to say that I need you even more today as I did yesterday. I need you in my heart, my life. I need to know you more. I need you guiding me as the head of the body, and show me where I fit and how I feel and how I function. And Holy Spirit, I want you to lead my every step so that I be pleasing to the Lord. Holy Spirit, guide us tonight as we open our hearts up to learn, Father, to learn from you, to learn from the Holy Spirit, to learn about the Holy Spirit working in our midst and how we're to function together in the church for the benefit of the church, for the blessing of the church body. So, Holy Spirit, guide me tonight. Bless me to be a blessing tonight. Let me speak out of the passion of the abundance of my heart to be a blessing. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Now, as we go through this chapter, last week, we covered some of the qualifications about prophecy. It defined prophecy. It's like a measuring tool. You know, a tape measure to say, hey, this is what it looks like. When you get a word of prophecy in the church, it's a word of exhortation, comfort, and it exalts you. It lifts you up. So it's something very positive, so blessing. So when God speaks to you, He wants to encourage you. He wants to bless you. He wants to lift you up. So it's going to be a word of exhortation and comfort to the body of Christ. And when we also found that a word of tongues with interpretation or equivalent to prophecy, well, they accomplish the same thing. When you have someone who has a message in tongues and their interpretation comes, it's going to follow the same guidelines as the prophetic word. It's going to be edifying, exhorting, and comforting to the church. It's not going to be, hey, God's going to burn your barley fields, you bunch of heathens in this church. You know what I'm saying? Say, whoa, wait a minute. We got to judge that by the word of God. That doesn't seem proper. And so, are y'all with me? Okay, and so there's many things in this passage of Scripture. We're going to be talking about so many things about. I'm going to show you some areas of Scripture that have been taken out of context, and whole doctrines have been built upon some of these Scriptures, and one even talking about women in the church and how it's like women. I don't know if you've ever felt like that people have got their thumb on you, and you can't function. You have no worth in the church, and you're supposed to keep silence. You're supposed to keep your mouth shut and only be seen and not heard. And people have built whole doctrines about that because of one of these passages of Scripture. But I'm going to show you what that Scripture is saying. I'm going to show you what it's talking about. We want to be workmen studying the Word of God, workmen of the Word of God that can be approved by God, not to be reproved, but be approved of God, rightly defining, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Are y'all with me now? So stay with me. We're going to learn a few things tonight. Now, as we go through some of these gifts that you'll see that are shown in the Word of God, you may not operate in these. There's a lot of gifts that we may not operate in, but you need to know about it. Are you with me? You may not be the person that prays in tongues or has a message in tongues, but you need to know how it operates. You need to know whether it's right or wrong. And you need to have the maturity not to get bent out of shape when something happens. It's a little bit out, you know. I want to be patient when things go. This is why I'm in pastoring. I've been pastoring close to 22 years. And we've had things in many services that are not quite right. All I do is I back up and begin to teach. Don't get it bent out of shape. Don't beat nobody up because they did it wrong, you know. I mean, I don't want to damage them. I want to lift them up. Show them how, okay, this is what happened here. This wasn't quite right. Because there's a lot of times you can save somebody and head them in the right direction. Okay. So you need to know and understand some of these things. And I dare say that you and I operate in spiritual gifts more than we know. More than you know, there are certain things that you might be doing that actually are spiritual. That God is saying in the Word, you're doing something that's very spiritual. I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians. And we're going to start in 1 Corinthians 12. So if you got your Bible with you, go there. Or you're taking notes, you can write it down. Or you can follow along with me if you have our app. The notes should be on there by now. You can follow along the Victory Life Church app or the YouVersion Bible app. I don't know if we're there on that. I'm looking around to see a thumbs up, but maybe not. But you can get them later. So, 1 Corinthians 12, go with me to verse 27, and I'm going to read the King James. I'm going to do a lot of the King James because that's why I studied it out to begin with. And we'll look in other versions to see the expression of what it's saying even in a better understanding. But let's look at verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ and your members in particular. Members in particular, what does that mean? You know, if you look at, just jot down Romans 12:5 if you're taking notes. So it says there, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. We all belong to each other in some way. We got to understand that. Because if we'll begin to understand that, we'll do less hurting one another. And I'm thinking that it's got to be a type of relationship that me and Kathy, she belongs to me and I belong to her. Now, I don't know how far I need to take that. I mean, there's a lot of good teaching about marriage too. But my body belongs to her. Her body belongs to me. We have that relationship. On the same level that you and I, we belong to one another. You're my brother. You're my sister. We need to be functioning to each other. You need to be lifting me up when I need it, and I need to be lifting you up when you need it. Because we are connected in this walk. We don't need to be damaging each other. We need to be loving one another. We found out last week about love. If, no matter what we do, no matter what we have, no matter what we give, if it's not done in love, then it doesn't profit us anything. Yeah. Okay. So we all belong to one another. We're members in particular. Look at verse 28. And God has set some in the church. Now, it's universal church. You may not have all of these functioning in a small church or whatever, but he sets some things in the church that are the function in the church. And you know what? They have spiritual function. Let's look what he says they are here. He sets some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Very similar to Ephesians 4, where he talks about the fivefold ministry. They have different functions. After that, miracles, those gifted in miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Well, the answer is no. But we all function together. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, we covered that some last week. Now, listen to verse 28, the NIV version. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, and those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Do you notice, you look at apostles and prophets and these other workers of miracles, and you think, wow, those are amazing. Those are astounding. Those are needed in church. But do you know that these other gifts are just as important, just as needed as the worker of miracles? You have the ones that are able to give, able to help others, those with a giving heart, those with the gift of administrations. Leaders who can lead. Leaders who can make the hard decisions and create and develop other leaders. Those are just as important in the body of Christ as a worker of miracles, as the gifts of healing. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need people who are developing and creating leaders in the body of Christ. Raising up leaders who can do that is a gift of God given to the church. He's set in the church. So if you're an administrator, you're good at it, that you could look and say, oh, I'm a gift of God to these folks at my job. Are y'all with me? Oh, man. So I'm saying, hey, you might be operating these things more than you know. The word help here in the Greek means relief. There's some people who have a really giving ministry. They have a giving heart. They know how to bring relief to people, how to bring such an anointed comfort to people. You need to be operating in that gift if that's you. Administration in the Greek means, it's from a Latin origin, to steer, to pilot. Directorship, an example, in the church. Some people are just anointed to pilot the ship. Some people are not, but some people are. And we need to be praying for them just as well as anybody else. So we're talking about spiritual things. When Kathy was 16 years old, there was a lady, and she was raised in a Baptist church. Man, she had the word ingrained in her and from just a small girl. And when she was 16, an adult woman came and asked her, said, I want you to go with me to help me minister to this man that's 70-plus years old. Her brother, it was her brother. Will you go with me? I just feel like God told me to get you and go with me. Well, Kathy's thinking, now how do I minister to a 70-year-old man, 70-plus years? But when she got there and began to talk to him, it's like the word began to just pour out of her like a river. Word on salvation, how much God loved her and loved him and et cetera, et cetera. And the word just poured out, just scripture and scriptures. And that man that night gave his heart to Jesus. Amen. You can't tell me that that's not spiritual. How many times has God used you to minister to somebody? That word just begins to pour out of you. So you might be doing things spiritual, not even know it. Never sell yourself short. You may not look like somebody else. You may not have the same gifting, but that doesn't mean you don't have a fingerprint to make your impression on the world as well. And on the church. Everybody's got a part. Everybody has to play. We're all connected to one another. We're all members in particular. You got a unique fingerprint that we need. the body needs. You need to find out what that is. Okay? So I want to take, now let's go to 1 Corinthians 14 and look at verse 20. And I want to just take this out of context just for a moment and dwell right here for just a moment. And to challenge your thinking as we move forward in the Word of God. Look at verse 20. It says in the King James, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." Listen to the New Living Translations. "Dear brothers and sisters, don't be childish in your understanding of these things." This is Paul saying, listen, don't be childish in these things. He's kind of jerking a slack at them and trying to teach them, challenge them. He said, "Be innocent as babies when it comes to evil, but be mature and wise in understanding matters of this kind." It's time we grow up. Don't get bent out of shape when we're walking in spiritual things and trying to find our way. That's like I said a while ago, you know, I've had some folks in the church. I understand a message in tongues with interpretation. I'm going to be teaching you about that. I can also understand when you have your prayer language, I'm going to be teaching it's vertical and horizontal. There's times when it's just talking to God. And I'll teach you where that comes from, and tonight some of it. Had someone got so excited, they received their prayer language. I mean, talking in tongues, if y'all didn't know what I'm saying there, okay? They're talking in tongues. They got so excited, stood up, just got just real loud in tongues. In a service. I'm on the pulpit. And I realized they just got overly excited. That really wasn't a message to the body at that moment. Well, I didn't get bent out of shape, send somebody over to beat him up, carry him out and throw him out in the street, say, "Man, you messed up. You come back when you got it together." No, that's when we back up. And the people weren't all bent out of shape. I mean, I'll wait on it and say, "God, you got a word?" There's no interpretation. Then you start teaching the Word of God. Y'all with me? Y'all still with me all right? Y'all still feel comfortable? You're relaxed? You're really grown? Okay, here we go. Let's go further then. So, you know, what happens many times when we don't understand spiritual things, we can react immaturely and unwisely, and what happens, it results in evil actions. When we don't understand it and we're not being mature in understanding spiritual things and we react in the flesh, that's where churches split. That's where churches break up and never, you know, people are hurt and wounded, and a lot of people don't even come back to church anymore. So it's time that we become mature and wise in understanding matters of this kind, he says. Amen. Now let's go on. 1 Corinthians 14, let's look down about verse 13. Remember, in this chapter, it's talking about the public and corporate worship. And here in this particular passage, I'm going to share with you where a lot of people, where this phrase comes from, praying in the Spirit. You hear people talking about praying in the Spirit. If you're new to these things, you may not understand the Christianese of it all and the Christian lingo. But here's where comes from in 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 13. "Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." I shared with you last week, taught you, look at the Amplified. If you drill down in the Greek there, it said, "My spirit by the Holy Spirit prayeth." It's the Holy Spirit in me praying. It originates, and the source of it is the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 15. "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. And I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks?" Well, I'll stop for here just a moment. Now, here's where it talks about, what he's talking about is praying in tongues. When he's talking about praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit, speaking with the interpretation. But one thing I want you to catch here that he brought out, he said, "Else when thou bless with the Spirit." And how can they say amen at your giving of thanks? The expression of tongues many times is a blessing in the Lord. You're praying in spirit to the Lord. And I don't understand all the intricacies of the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do, but I know sometimes he's using me to pray and bless God and to praise God. Are y'all getting this? Wow, and it's exciting. He said, but, he said, "How will those that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, You're giving thanks well, but now we're talking about a corporate gathering. And he said, but the other's not edified. I thank my God, Paul says, I speak with tongues more than you all, more than all of you. Yet in the church, we're going to learn some key words now. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now here people have said, well, see, right there it says, you know, you could pray, I'd rather speak five words in English than praying in tongues 10,000 words, so we don't even need the tongue stuff. No, he's talking about in a corporate worship that I need to bring something that brings edification to people to teach them. If I'm standing in the pulpit, I need to bring something you can understand. What if I stood up here and I just prayed in tongues for 30, 40 minutes? You walk out of here and think, well, it sounded cool, but did you get anything out of that, Martha? No, I didn't get anything out of that either. You never learned a thing. So he's talking about corporate worship. You need to be learning things. If I'm standing up here and I'm ministering to you, I need to give you something that you would understand. Hopefully, try to improve my vocabulary so that even that you can understand. Are y'all with me? Yeah. I need to give you something in corporate worship. Now, it's okay if I'm off to the side and I'm over there in my own little world. I'm praying and I'm worshiping God. But when it comes time to express something to you, it needs to be something you can understand. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Are you with me so far? Okay. So, this word's talking about praying in the Spirit. Got that. And so I need to teach. I need to do it in English where you can understand. Now, let's look at Mark 16. In Mark 16, the Great Commission. Now, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it talked about the person praying in tongues is praying to God, not to men. He's speaking secret things, things that can't be easily understood to God. He's talking in tongues. Here in the Great Commission, I want to bring your attention to that in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth what? The gospel. He that believeth the gospel and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Believe what? The gospel. He says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, you know, we saw Paul, when the taking up the serpents means serpents. They can be bit by that and not die. We saw that with Paul. He got bit by a serpent, and they said, well, this guy must have done something wrong. He's a dead man. And then he didn't die, and it was a witness, you know. It was a supernatural happening. All of those things that he said there were supernatural. Lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Cast out devils. But he said they would speak with other tongues. They would speak with new tongues. That word in the Greek there means it's a language that's not attained naturally. This wasn't something that they went to, you know, missionary school and learned the language of the people and went out and taught them, okay? And he said, no, this is something that you did not go to school to learn. That's the same word used right there as it did 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. It said they will pray in other tongues and they're speaking to God and not to men. Just want to bring that out. Now, as we go on in the teaching, when I teach that class, it's like a three-night class on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll show you even deeper where there's other tongues and unknown tongues. You find those in the Scripture where there's other tongues and unknown tongues. There's other tongues we saw on the day of Pentecost that those guys, they heard them speaking in their language. It was speaking in other tongues. Anyway, okay. So 1 Corinthians 14, 2. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Oh, my word. Just the Holy Spirit praying through your spirit. We learned last week he's bypassing your brain. Thank the Lord, you know. That wouldn't get polluted with our thinking sometimes, but he passes our brain, and he's praying in the Spirit. You're sitting there praying in the Spirit. You're speaking to God, hidden things, secret things, things not easily understood to the natural man. Oh, man, wouldn't you want to all of a sudden know everything that's been said by the Holy Ghost in the presence of God? It's God. Holy Ghost is God. God blessing God. God speaking to God. I don't know. That's just amazing. You've got to get your brain cells working there, right? It's just amazing to me that the Holy Spirit would pray through us. Holy Spirit of God, who lives on the inside of us, is using us to pray and bless God and speaking things to God. Wow, that's exciting to me. It's the Holy Spirit through our spirit. Now listen, pray for the interpretation. If we have the interpretation or this inspired will and purpose of God, if we pray that we can have the interpretation, then those things that are not obvious to our understanding can be understood. Holy Spirit, I want you to guide me. I want to know what you're saying to the church today. Use me today. Let me. There's times when I'm praying for people over the years and pray for them in a prayer line or whatever, and I lay my hands on them and I pray in the Spirit. Then I begin to know. It's like I know what He's saying over them. I know what He's praying, and I pray that in English as well. It's an exciting adventure with the Holy Spirit. But these are things we need to understand. Don't you want to see these things? Boy, I do. Now, let me share again some of the things about tongues. Three things about tongues that we found out. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, it's a battery charger. Who doesn't need a battery charger in the world we live in, man? I mean, I need charged up. I need something on the inside of me strengthening me when I feel like I'm drained, when I feel like I'm lonesome, when I feel like I'm lonely and I'm weak and Lord, I need something. And I shared with you last week, get the CDs, a little bit more about that, how that helped me to overcome some of the strongholds of the devil in my life. I need something more. You ever felt like that? Lord, I'm born again. I know my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know I'm going to heaven, but I need something more. I need something more. I need something to strengthen me. I know I got the seal of the Holy Ghost. I got the signet of God on me that I belong to God. But God, I need something on the inside of me strengthening me. One of those is praying in the Spirit. It's a battery charger. When I pray in the Spirit, it edifies me. It strengthens me. Oh, man. In Jude 1:20, but ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Man, there's times when you don't know anything else, just begin to pray. And let the Holy Spirit pray through you, because as He traverses through you and works through you, it lifts you up, and your flesh gets to dominate your flesh, and your spirit comes to the top. I need the righteousness on the inside of me to come to the top. One of those ways is praying in the Spirit. Why do I need to talk in tongues? Why do I need that? Because I need something more. I need something more. Praise God. Now, Romans 8:6, the second thing about praying in tongues, it's a prayer language. Romans 8:26, verse 27. I shared a little bit about this last week, but let me expound on it a little bit. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. What's your infirmities? That's your weaknesses. I got infirmities. There's things I've got weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. How many figured out you ain't got it all figured out? I mean, there's some things I just don't know what to pray for. I don't know the underlying things that I don't know. I know how. I go to the Father through Jesus Christ. He's the mediator between me and God. I know how, but I don't know what. You ever had that situation? I don't know what to pray in this situation. It says the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, let me dig at this a little bit, okay? I mean, there's a lot of times when people read the Scripture, I've heard preachers say, here's what it says right here, and I thought, wait a minute, I took English, and it don't look like that's what it says right there. Are y'all with me? Is it okay if you kind of get into my logic? I mean, I went to school, and half the time I paid attention. So I want to read and see what it says. But here, there are things that have been brought out of here that the Holy Spirit, He's helping our infirmities in the way that we pray for somebody. Isn't that what we said? I mean, because sometimes we don't know what to pray for. So it says He's praying for us. And it says He's praying for us. Is it for us or for us? Another, in the other area, it says He's praying for the saints. Is He praying for the saints or for the saints or for the saints? Are y'all getting this? It's a twist in English. He's praying for the saints. Or He's praying for the saints. Okay, are y'all getting this? I'm saying, okay, Lord, what is He saying here? Is He praying for us? Or is He praying for the saints? If He's just praying for you, He's praying for you. But if He's praying for the saints, He's praying through you. So I see this as a prayer tool, but there's sometimes I don't know what to pray for, and I got to kick over to one that knows how to pray the perfect will of God. Yeah. The Holy Spirit says He searches even the depths of God. And sometimes God wants to use you as an intercessory tool. Are y'all getting this? Yeah. He's searching to and fro in the world, seeking who He can use. He wants to use. He's wanting some people to step up and be a prayer warrior, to be a prayer tool. Sometimes you don't know how to pray in your infirmities, but if you have the Holy Spirit who searches even the depths of God, that's on the inside of you, can pray through you when you intercede into this realm here, boy, I'm telling you what, mountains are going to move. Prayers will be answered when He's praying according to the will of God. Because you know what, a lot of times you and I, we pray prayers, but we pray selfishly. Come on. Isn't that the truth? You praying for somebody, Lord, jerk the slack out of them. Well, in other words, the Holy Spirit might say, God, let them know about Your love. Because the love is what conquers all things. It might be the perfect thing He needs to pray. When you're praying for your relationships, and times when Kathy and I prayed in our marriage, I have the Holy Spirit. I'd be getting to a prayer time, and I just let the Holy Spirit pray through me, Lord, I need to pray right. I need to pray right here. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2, verse... I don't want to go too long. I'm trying to... 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. If anything in you knows how to pray, it's the Holy Spirit. Now, the third thing... tongues, Acts 2, we found in Acts 2, and in other areas in Acts 2, down to verse 19, you go read the whole chapter. There's one thing about tongues. Tongues are twofold. Tongues are vertical, and tongues are horizontal. Vertical, horizontal. See, sometimes, like we found out in 1 Corinthians 14, 2, that the person praying to God, He's not talking to men. They don't understand. He's praying to God. He's praying to God. He's going this way. Or it might be a worshiping God. It might be a giving of thanks to God. But there's times when God wants to speak out here to His people, to lift them up, to exhort them, to comfort them, to edify them. So it's twofold when you're trying to understand what's going on here. Look at Acts, the second chapter, verse. Now this was a unique day. This was a very unique day when the day of Pentecost came. All the disciples were in the upper room waiting for the promise that God promised, the promise of the Holy Spirit. It was very unique. And look at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them on them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. See, I believe that later when Jesus said, go and wait for the promise, it says He breathed on them the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm trying to decide. I think that that's when their spirits became born again. He was already risen. He'd already gone to the mercy seat of God, and He'd already sprinkled His blood on the mercy seat of God, and they believed in Jesus. But He said, there's something else coming that you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak of these tongues. Let's look here and see in verse 11. It says in verse 11, they were speaking the wonderful works of God. Now, this is amazing. This wasn't unknown tongues. This was other tongues. And the Holy Spirit was praying through them and speaking wonderful works of God. And the devout Jews who had gathered for the day of Pentecost, there were over 3,000 of them that day in that area when those people were filled with the Holy Ghost in the upper room and came out speaking in languages that related to these people coming from every region and dominion coming in. They were speaking in their language, pouring out of them supernatural. And they were speaking wonderful works of God. And they said, these guys, what? They're so excited. They've been drinking something, but they've been drinking something, but it wasn't wine. It was the Holy Ghost. It was drunk on the Spirit, okay? But Peter got up and began to share with them, no, this is the prophecy being fulfilled of the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. He goes on to tell them, and he said, this is what you're seeing is what happened. But I want to point you to verse 33. It's very exciting to me. And there were 3,000 people that gave their life to Jesus that day when Peter began to explain what was happening. In verse 33, he's talking about Jesus being exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear today. So Jesus, at the end there, when all this happened, Jesus was exalted the right hand of God, and God gave him the Holy Spirit, and Jesus shed it abroad upon the hearts of all the people. Jesus was the source of what happened on that day. Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit on these people. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak wonders, works of God, speak in other languages. Jesus was the source of that. Whoa. When we say things like, that's of the devil, that's not of God, when you read right here, the source of it is Jesus. John the Baptist said, listen, there's a man coming after me. Talking about Jesus, said, I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. He said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Oh, my word. Oh, my word. That just turns my crank, gets my motor started. Jesus is the source of this. Jesus wants to bless the body. Jesus wants to speak to us. Jesus wants to edify us and exhort us and comfort us. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send another comforter. He's the Holy Spirit. He'll not only walk with you, he'll be on the inside of you. He'll guide you and teach you and show you things to come. Holy Spirit is here. Yeah. And he wants to work through us. Yeah. And he wants to do it right. Oh, praise God. Oh, that's exciting to me. I mean, if there's some kind of supernatural experience that could be manifested, and possibly 3,000 souls can be saved, I'm for it. Yes. If there's something by the Holy Spirit he wants to move and people give their life to Jesus, I'm for it. Yes. Even if one soul came to the kingdom. Yes. Now, one of my questions is this. Why would we have so much instruction on how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit if it wasn't meant to continue past the lives of the apostles? Why would there be so much teaching in the Word of God for you and I? How to operate in the Holy Spirit. How to walk with the Spirit. How to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. How to tune in. How to act right and not act wrong if it wasn't meant for today, for the church age. Are y'all with me? Man, my mind is just going in so many different directions. I can't do that, can I? The church age. I'm just going to touch on this. Y'all go over to Daniel and study about Daniel's 70 weeks. Daniel's 70 weeks. Daniel was crying out to God. And this is not in my notes. Terry, it's not there. And Daniel said, God, what's going to happen to your people? Said all this stuff. And then Daniel laid out the 70 weeks, each week being 7 years. And he goes on talking about 62 weeks, and at 69 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off or killed, but not for his own sake, but for others. And then it goes to talking about the 70th week, the 7-year tribulation period. But in the moment where he died, in the last 7 years, there's over 2,000 years in between there. It didn't even talk about the church age. It didn't even talk about it because that was the mystery. Mysteries hidden to all other generations was the church age, the dispensation of grace and mercy, a time period of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's been 2,000 years since Jesus died, and the tribulation period hasn't happened yet. Oh, praise God. There's a lot of people that are twisting and think we're already in hell and all this goofy stuff, but we're in a dispensation of grace. The greatest time period of mankind is what you and I live in right now. And on that day, the Holy Spirit was poured out for the church age. All the teachings about the church age, the Jewish dispensation, stopped at that moment. Now, when you look at the tribulation period, that 7 years goes back to the dynamics of the Jewish time period where even angels preached the gospel. And even before, angels brought the word of God. But not here. God said he chose to work through you and I to share forth the manifold wisdom of God. The church age is supposed to be carrying this message. It was hidden to all other generations. It was called the mystery. But it's been unfurled now, the Holy Spirit. So it started then. It's going to end at what's called the rapture or catching away. But nothing's changed in here. Nothing changed when the apostles died. They just kicked off this period. Okay, so I don't want to. There's so much more to that. It didn't die with the apostles. Did wisdom die with the apostles? No. Did knowledge die with the apostles? No. Did the working of the Holy Spirit die with the apostles? No. We just got to learn to walk in it. Man, here's another question, and I'm trying to hurry. I've got just 14 more pages, and we're just going to have to quit, okay? Another question is, how can you explain verse 39? In verse 39, and I'm going to share, there's 13 translations. It says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, to speak the divine will and purpose of God, and forbid not to speak with tongues. If tongues were not for today, why would he say, don't forbid the speaking in tongues? And I had 13 translations. I went through and looked at all of them. New Living Translation and NIV, the Nearly Inspired Version and the Amplified. And that's what I heard it called. Don't forbid speaking in tongues. All of these say, don't forbid it. Even in the Spanish translation I had, no impedeas el hablar lenguas. Is that close? Okay, that's close. This is don't forbid that. But the very next verse is, but let all things be done decently and in order. See, we are to come together in the church and function, but we got to do it right. The Holy Spirit guiding and leading us. Oh, praise God. We got to do it right. Now, oh, my word. What time is it? Am I out of time? I'm out of time. Okay. Let me quit somewhere in here. 1 Corinthians 14:22, wherefore tongues are for a sign. Now get this. This kind of confused me at first. Now I'm going to close with this. I promise I'm going to quit the rest of these notes. We'll pick it up next time we're together. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serve for them that believe not, but for them that which believe. And I thought, wait a minute, I don't quite understand that. Now, when I was in college, that's when God was drawing me back to Him. My parents were going to a church up by the college. It was an AG church, and they were pulling me to come to church, you know, and I'd come to church occasionally on Sundays. I didn't do the Wednesday thing, but I, like y'all are doing. And I was like the ones that are not here. So, but... Every time I'd go, that preacher's talking to me. Well, y'all are telling him stuff. Y'all are telling him stuff behind my back. But I'd heard him in the invitation time. He'd be singing. They'd do music. He'd be singing. He was singing, God break every fetter. And I thought, he's got a lisp. He's talking about feather. Fetter? He's talking about breaking a fetter. I had to learn fetters means chains, okay? Y'all knew that, didn't you? Okay. I didn't know that. So, but he'd start singing and speaking in this language that I thought, wow, that sounds pretty cool. He must have learned that at preacher school. What is that? That don't sound like anything I know. And he was doing this, but he got to talking one night about being baptized in the Holy Ghost. I had no idea what he was talking about. But my mother went down to the altar and knelt to the altar, and she got filled with the Holy Spirit, and she began speaking in tongues. I thought, whoa, what's this? And, you know, what's she doing down there? And I thought you had to be holy to get it. But see, that was a sign to me that there was something supernatural that happened. I was the unbeliever. But see, to you and I, what I've taught you tonight, you as a believer, tongues are not a sign to you. They're a tool for you. But now when you go to prophecy, prophecy is not a sign to the unbeliever. They think you're just talking gibberish. You speak the divine will and purpose of God. To them, it's gibberish. It says Scripture that those people that are lost, to them, it's foolishness. But to us, you and I who recognize the Word of God, and when a divine will and purpose of God, when a prophetic word comes to us who are believers, we say, that's God. That's God. Y'all hearing me? So that's where that Scripture comes in, that these tongues, man, God uses them also to reach the unbelievers and say, there's something supernatural that's happening right here. What is that, God? I need that. I want that. Well, communication is the key to success to all that we do. And you go read 1 Corinthians 14, 6 through 12. Communication is the key to what we do to communicate the Word of God and the Holy Spirit touching us. Just like women and men. I'm going to close with this. Women, what's the old saying that women speak 24,000 words and men 12? Y'all have heard that, right? Well, ladies, let me tell you, we speak a lot more than 12,000. Y'all just don't know the lingo. We men, we communicate, you know, little key to you guys, women don't understand our lingo. So if you're trying to communicate to your wife, talk in a language they can understand. It's called English, okay? When you get home, when they ask you, how you doing today? They don't get that. You got to talk English, okay? So the key to the Holy Spirit and us learning the Word of God is seeing what God's trying to say to us, okay? We got to learn the lingo, okay? All right, let's stand together. I hope you're getting something out of this. Praise God. This is fun for me. This is fun to learn the Word of God and grow in the Word of God and not be afraid of it. Step into the things, even that are unknown to me. Holy Spirit, what are you doing here? What is it that you want to do? You know, have your way with us. Now, next Wednesday, we won't be having service. I think it's the next two Wednesdays, right? Because next Wednesday, we've moved it to Monday and Tuesday night. Be here with Pastor Dwayne. Man, if you haven't been in his services, it's amazing. He's wonderful. You hear him online on Sunday, but he's the real thing. Pastor Dwayne is the same behind the scenes as he is out front. I love my pastor. I get to spend a lot of time with him behind the scenes. He's the same loving guy. He really is the real thing. I can work for a man like that and serve under him as my pastor. And then Thanksgiving, spend time with your families. But after that, we'll pick it back up. And I'm going to cover some of the other scriptures of about women. Women, you really, men, you need to be here too. But ladies, bring your friends. You need to understand what the Word is saying there. Because the Word here in 1 Corinthians 14, there's this passage there that says women are to keep silent in the church. But there's so much more to that. If you're not looking at it, okay? Because a lot of people stop right there. Oh, yeah. See, Myrtle, you're supposed to keep your mouth shut. Take that. God said. And they'll use it, you know. There's a lot of women that don't fall for that. Praise God. Well, let me close our service with a word of prayer. And if you need prayer, please come down. Let these guys believe God with you. I pray that you would take your quiet time and step into God and say, God, what is it you'd say to me about this? Where have I stood on this? Where have I stood on spiritual things? I want to have understanding. I want to grow. I want to learn. And then, God, I need so much more. I need you working in my life. And that's what Holy Spirit's here for. And He is here. He is here. If you're a child of God, He's in you. He wants to operate in you and empower you. So, Father, we love you and we bless you. Father, we have so much fun learning and growing in your Word. You're such a good God. You're such a loving Father, a compassionate God and a loving Father. And Father, we want to know you more. We want to grow in understanding. And Father, we want to operate in spiritual things. Because we're not just of this world, Father. We're in it, but we're not of it. Our bodies were birthed out of it, but God, we were birthed out of you. And we want to understand spiritual things. Help us to operate in those things and let your will be done in our lives. And Father, tonight I pray here that you'll heal hearts in this place. Heal hearts. Father, let your anointing flow in this place. Your anointing that sets captives free and brings sight to the blind so that we can understand and truly see. Not just the body, but our hearts. To truly see. Let your anointing touch our lives and liberate those who are wounded from hurt and damage and abuse, that their hearts have gone into a bondage. Lord, let their hearts be liberated and free and healed. Let us walk, Father, in our redemptive giftings and work, that you said you would redeem us. You'd buy us back and redeem us and free us and help us to be who we really are in you, Father. And I pray that for every person in this room tonight. Father, when we face our challenges with that understanding and that reality and that anointing, we'll have success and victory and joy in our hearts and lives. And I pray tonight you heal relationships, men relationships, heal marriages tonight, Father. Heal marriages tonight. Let us walk in the newness and love that you have for us, Father, with purpose and strength and maturity. Father, I ask that in Jesus' name. Bless us as we go. Bless us to be a blessing with all those we come in contact with, Father. And Lord, be with my pastor this week as he comes, Father. He and Sue, Father, I pray that you bless them, Father. Let him have the divine word for this location, for this body, for us. Let him speak into our hearts the word we need to hear, to encourage us, strengthen us, and even challenge us, Father. Lord, let that word, that anointing, flow out of him like a river, Father. For we need your word, Father. We need that anointing. So, Father, again, bless us to be a blessing in all that we do and all that we come into contact with. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.